Amen. Thank you. Cindy, take your Bibles, if you'll please. Psalm 37 tonight. Psalm 37, we're reading the first 13 verses. Psalm 37, verse 1. Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity, for they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good, so shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. And he shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday. Rest in the Lord, and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil, for evildoers shall be cut off. But those that wait upon the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. For yet a little while, and the wicked shall not be. Yea, thou shalt diligently consider his place, and it shall not be. But the meek shall inherit the earth, and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. The wicked plotteth against the just, and gnasheth upon him with his teeth. The Lord shall laugh at him, for he seeth that his day is coming. Title of the message, A Comfort and a Warning, Part 3. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for tonight. Lord, what a privilege it is to gather together in your house with your people to sing praises to your name. Thank you for the copy of your word that each of us can afford to have tonight to study. Let it guide our paths. Lord, we need you tonight. We freely acknowledge that. And as we look at your word, we pray that you'd speak to our hearts. Lord, may everything we say and do here tonight bring glory and honor to you, for truly you are worthy. Bless this service in Jesus' name. Amen. The message this evening will conclude our little three-part series. The passage that we've just read continues in the same vein throughout the remainder of the chapter. There is one underlying thought. God is going to take care of the wicked, and God is going to take care of you. And by take care of, we mean two different things. Like the guy who went on vacation with his family and asked his neighbor before he left to take care of his cat while they were gone. And he comes back from vacation, goes over to the neighbor's, and he says, well, how's the cat? And the neighbor says, how's the cat? What do you mean? The cat's dead. He said, the cat's dead? He said, yeah. You said, while you were gone on vacation, take care of the cat. I took care of the cat. So, with apologies to any veterinarians that might be here tonight or whatever, but So take care of can be interpreted more than one way. In verse 14, it says, the wicked have drawn out the sword and have bent their bow to cast down the poor and needy and to slay such as be of upright conversation, those that want to live for God. Their sword shall enter into their own heart. Their bows shall be broken. The Lord knoweth the days of the upright, and their inheritance shall be forever. Thank God for that. For such as be blessed of him, verse 22, shall inherit the earth, and they that be cursed of him shall be cut off. Verse 28, for the Lord loveth judgment, forsaketh not his saints. They are preserved forever, but the seed of the wicked shall be cut off. The righteous shall inherit the land and dwell therein forever. Verse 34, wait on the Lord and keep his way, and he shall exalt thee to inherit the land. When the wicked are cut off, thou shalt see it. I've seen the wicked, verse 35, in great power, spreading himself like a green bay tree, yet he passed away. Lo, he was not, yes, sought him, but he could not be found. Mark the perfect man, and behold the upright, for the end of that man is peace. But the transgressors shall be destroyed together, the end of the wicked shall be cut off. Now some of that will be taken care of in this life. All of it will be taken care of by eternity. And God's going to deal with all of that. And in light of that, look again, if you will, at our opening text, verse 1. Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. Look at verse 7. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. Verse 8, cease from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil. Now, three times he says that. Fret not thyself. That's good. That's important, because if there's one thing that we're all good at in here tonight, it's fretting. Is there anyone here tonight who is not an accomplished fretter? And don't raise your hand, because remember, this ultimately is a series about lying and liars. That's what we're dealing with. So, but we're all good about fretting. Fretting comes naturally to us. The word in the Hebrew means to grow warm, not in a good way. To glow, to blaze up, to be displeased, to be incensed, to have jealousy, or to burn with zeal or anger. That's what it means to fret. Look at the verses again. Verse 1, fret not thyself because of evildoers. Boy, it's easy to fret ourselves because of evildoers. It's easy to have righteous indignation. It's easy to, God, why don't you do something? Why don't you stop them? Neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. If you're tempted to fret because of the deeds of the wicked, would you want to trade places with them? I think not. Verse 7, he says, rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. Rest in the Lord, wait patiently for him. You're going to see evil men prosper. Of course, as we said, we're dealing with lying, and lying permeates our society seemingly like never before. We're flooded with lies on all fronts. And so you're going to see them prosper. You're going to see them bring wicked devices to pass, wicked devices that will impact your life in a negative way, in your family, in your church, your ministry, and they're going to bring wicked devices to pass. And he says, don't fret about that. Well, man, if there's something we ought to fret about, it ought to be the ungodly that are affecting the work of God and God's people. But he says, rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. That's hard to do. Most of us, I think, would think, you know, God, if you just maybe act a little quicker, if you just kind of put it on fast forward there, it's like we want microwave retribution, and God's like a crock pot. He's just taking a long time. And I think that's a terrible analogy. Just strike that. That's not in the notes. But really, we want something to happen right now. We want God to deal with it. But he says, rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. And that's in the context of don't fret. Don't fret. Instead, wait on the Lord. Verse 8, cease from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil or to seek your own vengeance, if you will. That's a good foundation for our conclusion. God will take care of the wicked in due time. And God will also take care of you in a good way. We've talked before about the many areas where God has promised that he will provide, where he has promised that he will deal with things. There are areas that are our domain. They're our responsibility. And there are areas that are God's domain and God's responsibility. You know how often we get out of our domain and get over in God's domain? And we're trying to just kind of help things along or take it under our own jurisdiction. Whenever we cross over into God's domain, we mess things up every time. Every time. Because there are things that are distinctly God's domain. They're not ours. 2 Thessalonians verse 1, verse 6, chapter 1, verse 6, seeing it is a righteous thing with God to recompense tribulation to them that trouble you. It's God's domain. It's a righteous thing with God. He considers that his righteous responsibility to recompense tribulation to them that trouble you. You know how often we're tempted to get out of our domain and get over in God's domain here? Because God doesn't recompense tribulation to them quite as speedily as we'd like him to. At Psalm 140, verse 12, I know that the Lord will maintain the cause of the afflicted. That's God's domain. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 19, for this is thankworthy if a man for conscience toward God endure grief, suffering wrongfully. conscience toward God, knowing that God is going to be honored and glorified by me responding correctly, or he's going to be shamed by me responding incorrectly. For so a man for conscience toward God endure grief, suffering wrongfully. Look at verse 20. For what glory is it if when ye be buffeted for your faults, ye shall take it patiently? But if when ye do well and suffer for it, ye take it patiently. This is acceptable with God. Look at the next verse. For even hereunto were ye called. He said you were called to suffer unjustly. You were called to persecution. You were called to people treating you unfairly. Even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow his steps, who did no sin, neither was guile in his mouth. He obviously, any suffering he suffered was not just. Who, when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not. But look at the next phrase. But committed himself to him that judgeth righteously. That's a phenomenal phrase. While he is suffering unjustly, he came to lay down his life. He said, I lay it down on myself. I have power to lay it down. I have power to take it again. And so while he is suffering unjustly, he commits himself to God. God's going to deal with all of that. Commits himself to him that judgeth righteously. Psalm 35:1, the psalmist said, plead my cause, O Lord, with them that strive with me. Fight against them that fight against me. Psalm 103:6, the Lord executeth righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed. Isaiah 49:25, he says, I will contend with him that contendeth with thee. Proverbs 20:22 says, say not thou, I will recompense evil, but wait on the Lord and he shall save thee. There you have that thought again, wait. Wait patiently for the Lord. Wait on the Lord. The problem is we're over here trying to stay in our domain, and we're not seeing God operate in his domain on the time frame we'd like him to operate on. And so after a while, we can wonder if God's even going to do anything. He says, wait, and he shall save thee. Hebrews 10:30, for we know him that has said, vengeance belongeth unto me, I will recompense, saith the Lord. And so God over and over and over is telling us the same thing. Hey, that's my domain. That's my responsibility. It's not your responsibility. Romans 12:19, dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves. You know what the word avenge means? It means they have it coming. You're just paying them back. You're not picking a fight. You're just making sure the fight ends and then they won't mess with you again. Avenge not yourselves. Humanly speaking, they deserve it. You're just simply avenging a wrong. But he says, don't do it. Don't do it. You're stepping out of your domain and you're stepping into God's domain. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. Let it be. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. So it's pretty clear what God considers his domain, what he considers his responsibility. And there are a lot more verses along these lines. We'll not take the time to look at them tonight. You say, okay, well, what is our responsibility? Romans 12:17, recompense to no man evil for evil. Again, you know what that word recompense means? It means to pay back. It means you're just giving them what they deserve, humanly speaking. But God says, don't do it. Don't do it. Verse 14, he says, bless them which persecute you. Bless and curse not. And these are great, wonderful, heartwarming truths until you have someone that's actually persecuting you. When it's no longer a concept, when it's a reality, it's not near as appealing. You can sit in church and I think, yeah, that's good. Bless those that persecute you until you really have somebody persecuting you. I mean, they're really persecuting you. And they're doing everything they can to get you fired from your job. Or they're doing everything they can to malign your reputation. They're doing everything they can to do you harm or to do your family harm. And then all of a sudden this whole thing about blessing them, it's like, I don't know about that. I think it's time to get out the imprecatory psalms and pray some of those for a while. Romans 12:18, if it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. That's our responsibility. That's our domain. And again, God is not asking the impossible here. He realizes sometimes it's not possible. You can do everything you ought to do as a Christian, react in the way you're supposed to, and they still might choose to not live peaceably with you. In which case, God's not going to hold you responsible. But he says, if it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Romans 12:20. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. That's our domain. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. That's our domain. So when that enemy that sets out to harm you has real needs, God says, why don't you step out and meet his needs? And in fact, when you're praying for him as you ought, that's a good prayer to have. Lord, this coworker Ralph is, and I hope nobody here is named Ralph. This coworker Ralph is just being as obnoxious as he can. God, would you allow me somehow to find out a need he has that I can meet? Now, you might not even feel like doing that. But obedience is just doing what we're supposed to do, whether we feel like it or not. You do right, and God will change your feelings. God will change your heart. But he says, my domain is not to get even. My domain is to seek to meet this man's needs, this enemy of mine. In verse 21, he says, be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. More evil doesn't overcome evil. If someone does you evil and you get them back and do them more evil, you haven't eliminated the evil, you've just added to the pile. What overcomes evil is good. And you as a child of God, he says, that's your responsibility. Jesus taught in the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5:44, but I say unto you, love your enemies. Again, great concept until you have an enemy. And then it's like, really, do I have to? How much do I have to love them? Love your enemies. Bless them that curse you. Do good to them that hate you. And pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. Verse 8 of 1 Peter 3, finally be ye all of one mind, having compassion one of another. Love his brethren, be pitiful or be full of pity, be courteous, not rendering evil for evil or railing for railing, but contrarywise, opposite of what they're going to do to you. Contrarywise, blessing, knowing that you're thereunto called, that ye should inherit a blessing. So God gives us a little encouragement along the way. He said, look, if you wouldn't just rail back at them and get in their face like they got in your face, and you wouldn't treat them in the same manner, but instead you would respond with blessing. He said, you know what? You're going to inherit a blessing. I'll bless you in that. I'll bless you by staying in your domain. I'll bless you if you'll just trust me. I'll take care of him, and I'll bless you. You'll inherit a blessing by being obedient. He goes on to say, for he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips that they speak no guile. You want to love life? You want to see good days? You have to stay in your domain. You come over here and then you allow bitterness to well up in your soul and begins to eat at you. And every time you go to work and you see Ralph, it just, your blood pressure goes up and you can't stand that guy. And you're looking for opportunities to get back at him. And in the break room, if Ralph's name comes up, you want to throw something out there about what a jerk he is. And you live for that. You're over here trying in your own human efforts to get revenge on Ralph. And God says, you know, if you love life, you want to love life, you want life to be good. You want to see good days. Then stay away from here. Stay over here. You want to see good days? You want your life to go well? No, you think over there, boy, this is going to be good. You're eating your insides out by stepping out of the domain that God would have you stay in. He said, he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil, his lips that they speak no guile. Let him eschew evil. Let him hate evil and do good. Let him seek peace and ensue it. Yeah, even peace with that guy that has set out to do you evil. And again, God gives us encouragement in this passage. For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. Again, God says, that's my responsibility. That's my responsibility. My face is against those that do evil. You're not to be that way. You're to give them, you're to be blessing them. Again, Proverbs 25:21, if thine enemy be hungry, give him bread to eat. And if he be thirsty, give him water to drink. For thou shalt heap coals of fire upon his head, and the Lord shall reward thee. Again, he promises a reward. And as we've said before, that whole heap coals of fire upon his head, that was a tactic of warfare. That was a tactic of overcoming the enemy. The enemy would come and try to scale the city walls, and from the top of the city walls, they would pour down hot oil or burning embers and burning coals and all of that. And he says, you're going to heap coals of fire on your enemy's head. The arrows that could not pierce, the coat of armor, the coat of mail, that hot oil, those burning coals would get inside and literally cook that guy alive, if you will. And he's saying, by you doing good to somebody that's doing you bad, you win the battle. You win the battle. Why? You respond with kindness. You respond with love. You respond with charity. And as he drives out of the parking lot at work and heads down the road, he's thinking, oh, man, I'm a jerk. You'll convict him with your life. If you respond with just more evil, you've lowered yourself to his level. There's no conviction there. God can't work with that. And by the way, when we jump into God's domain, most of the time, God just backs away. Okay, let's see how well you do. And you make a mess of it. And you get caught retaliating, and then Ralph gets you fired because you just did something to try to get back at him. And now you're really mad at Ralph, and you don't even get to see him every day to try to get even with him. And you blew it. And you won't even know if God ever does deal with him, because you're going to have to go find yourself another job some other place. We mess things up. So both domains are clearly laid out, and we really don't like either one, because it's hard to stay over here. It's hard to not fret because of what this guy's doing. It's hard to not fret because of what our elected leaders are doing. And we look and we think, man, they epitomize evil. And they're getting away with it. Yeah, but not for long. That's the whole of Psalm 37 is like, the Lord, one day, he'll laugh at him. He sees that his day is coming. He's going to deal with all of that. And so I'm supposed to stay over here, and I'm to wait patiently for God. I'm to wait patiently. And while I'm waiting, he said, don't fret. Don't get all worked up. And don't get all this angst in your soul where every time you turn on the news or every time you think about it, your blood pressure just goes up. He said, no, relax. Leave it in my hands. We cross over into God's domain and mess things up in so many areas. In tithing and giving and finances, how we handle our finances. It's so easy to switch over and go in the wrong domain. And both you and God have areas of responsibility in that. God has made promises and commitments. There are areas where God says, that's my domain. And God says, this is your responsibility. This is your responsibility. But when we shirk our responsibility, we mess everything up. Because so much of what God does in our lives is contingent on us fulfilling our responsibilities, staying in our domain. You do your part, let God do his. Trust him. Walking by faith, same thing. You have an area of responsibility. Raising your kids according to the principles of the Word of God, you have responsibility. Going through valleys, responding to trials. You have your part, God has his part. And he's made certain promises to you in all of those areas. You raise your kids according to God's word, he's made promises. You give according to God's word, he's made promises. You go through valleys and trust in God, he's made promises to you. You have your part, God has his part. Don't mess things up. And so too with this area that we started this series with this area of lying and liars, don't mess things up. Truth has fallen in the street. There's no doubt about that. But how are we then to respond to that, to this tsunami of lies, if you will? Don't fret. Don't retaliate. Don't lose faith. Don't despair. You know, there are a lot of Christians in America today that are in despair. I would remind you, God is not.
That's right.
God is not up in heaven saying, oh, wow, I knew I should have done whatever. No, he's not in despair at all. And even through the evil workings of men. And this is hard to say, but God sometimes sets up kings and brings them down. And we don't like that. I gave God all kinds of advice leading up to the election. And he didn't seem to follow much of it. But God sets up things, and he has a sovereign purpose that's, and a view that's greater than ours. And so my responsibility is to not lose faith. My responsibility is to not despair. My responsibility is to pray. My responsibility is to trust. My responsibility is to guard my heart. Job 31:28 says, "This also were an iniquity to be punished by the judge, for I should have denied the God that is above, if I rejoiced at the destruction of him that hated me, or lifted up myself when evil found him. Neither have I suffered my mouth to sin by wishing a curse to his soul." You know, that's our natural human reaction, is to rejoice when that enemy gets his comeuppance. God says, don't do it. Wow. That's going to take the grace of God working in your life to keep from rejoicing. In fact, in Proverbs, he says, when you rejoice, I may just take away my hand of judgment from him. Pretty hard. But that's my responsibility. Don't become bitter. Don't be full of malice. Bless and curse not. Have faith in God. We have a lot of responsibilities in this area. Take great comfort in what we know about God in response to this area. We've spent the last 2 weeks on it. What we know about God. God is a God of truth, and he hates lying. And when God in his word deals with the subject, he promises to deal with liars. You see, we're over here. It's so easy to fret. God's over here, and he says, I got this. It's in the Greek. I got this. I'm going to deal with this. I'm going to take care of it. That's why he's promised us over and over and over and over again. You can't miss it. If you read your Bible, he tells us over and over, don't mistake the fact that liars seem to be able to lie with impunity and seem to be able to lie and get away with it and continue to lie with great abandon. Don't mistake that and think that they're getting away with it. They're not. Henry Wadsworth Longfellow said, though the mills of God grind slowly, yet they grind exceeding small. Though with patience he stands waiting, with exactness he grinds all. God doesn't miss anything. That ought to comfort you tonight. He may not operate in your time frame according to your calendar, but he doesn't miss anything. In Psalm 139, verse 1, the psalmist said, O God, thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my downsitting and mine uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. Thou compassest my path and my lying down and art acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word in my tongue, O Lord, but thou, in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, thou knowest it altogether. In Amos, he says, for lo, he that formeth the mountains and createth the wind and declareth unto man what is his thought, that maketh the morning darkness and treadeth upon the high places of the earth, the Lord, the God of hosts, is his name. That's a pretty impressive resume. He formed the mountains. He created the wind. He maketh the morning darkness. He treads wherever he wants to go, and he can tell you what you're thinking. Verse 21 of Psalm 44, shall not God search this out, for he knoweth the secrets of the heart? Psalm 94:9, he that planted the ear, shall he not hear? He that formed the eyes, shall he not see? You see, sometimes we look and we think, does God care? Does God even hear what they're saying? Yeah, he does. He made their ears. He made their mouth. He made their eyes. Psalm 2, verse 1, why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? This is a verse directed to the ungodly, but it's a verse we need to take note of, this passage. He said, why do the heathen, why do they imagine these things? They imagine a vain thing. They go on in their foolishness and think they're going to be okay. Well, if it's foolish for them, how much more foolish is it for us over here, knowing the Word of God, knowing the nature of God, the character of God, that we would sit and lament and say, man, they're getting away with everything. No, we know what's going to happen. He said, why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? They don't know God. They don't know the nature of God. The kings of the earth set themselves. The rulers take counsel together against the Lord, against his anointed, saying, let us break their bands asunder, cast away their cords from us. He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall have them in derision. Judgment's coming. Proverbs 16:5, everyone that is proud and hard is an abomination to the Lord. Though hand join in hand, he should not be unpunished. You are seeing the wicked join hand in hand on many fronts today. And evil men in high places and spiritual wickedness and principalities and powers joining hands, not just across the country, but across the world. And they're pretty unified. And they're pretty emboldened in their sin. And they're pretty excited about the direction they're planning to take this tired old world. And God says, they'll not be unpunished. Doesn't matter how many people you get to hold hands together and go in the same direction. The wicked will not be unpunished. You have God's word on that. Matthew 12:34, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. I say unto you, verse 36, every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. Every idle word, every single lie, for by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. Proverbs 19:5, a false witness shall not be unpunished. He that speaketh lies shall not escape. How often it seems that they're escaping. They're getting away with it. No, they're not. It's just God's not ready to deal with that right now. We're ready for him to deal with it, but he's not ready to deal with it. And he's saying they will not escape. Proverbs 6:12, a naughty person, a wicked man, walketh with a froward mouth. Again, a froward, going the opposite direction it should be going against the truth. He walks with that froward mouth. He speaks lies openly. He's not ashamed of it. He winketh with his eyes. He speaketh with his feet. He teacheth with his fingers. Frowardness is in his heart. He deviseth mischief continually. He soweth discord. Therefore shall his calamity come suddenly. Suddenly shall he be broken without remedy. Remember Asaph in Psalm 73 as he's lamenting, man, why do they get away with these? I went to church and I understood. Went into the sanctuary of God. You've set them in slippery places. You've cast them down. They'll be destroyed in an instant. Psalm 63:11. The mouth of them that speak lies shall be stopped. And one day, in the consummation of all things, chapter 21 of Revelation, verse 8, but the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. They'll not get away with it forever. Oh, they might cause a lot of discomfort, pain, persecution, problems in your life in the meantime. But this is still God's domain. Doesn't mean we don't stand for righteousness and stand against evil. But there are certain things we can do and certain things we can't do because those are God's domain. That's in his domain. Revelation 22:11, he that is unjust, let him be unjust still. He which is filthy, let him be filthy still. He that is righteous, let him be righteous still. And he that is holy, let him be holy still. Behold, I come quickly. My reward is with me to give to every man according as his work shall be. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life and may enter in through the gates into that city. For without are dogs and sorcerers and whoremongers and murderers and idolaters, and whosoever loveth and maketh a lie Over and over and over, God says, I'm going to deal with it. I'm going to take care of it. That's my responsibility. Be comforted by that revelation from God, but then be warned by it as well. Again, in concluding the series, God wants us to be people of the truth. If God hates the lies of the ungodly, keep in mind that they're children of the devil. He's the father of lies. They're just doing what is their nature. It's in their DNA. That's what they do. If God still hates their lies, though, how much more does he hate ours? We're children of God. We've been regenerated. We've been born into his family. How much more? It's easy for you and me to look at the lies of the liars that are so prevalent in our society and get angry at them for their blatant lies and all of the hurt and damage they're causing. But that's all they know. You and I know differently. We know better. How much more should we strive to be honest? Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, in light of that, take unto you the whole armor of God that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all to stand, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth. How do we live in this evil world? How do we live in this world where truth has fallen in the streets? You better have your loins girt about with truth. That means all the time. That means when you say something, it needs to be the truth. How quickly we can excuse as just a fib. Well, it's a lie. Just a little white lie. Lies don't come in colors or sizes. It's just a lie. Well, I may have exaggerated a little bit. It's a lie. We'd be people of the truth. God is a God of absolute truth. So much so the Bible says he cannot lie. It's impossible for God to lie. And so we're to stand having our loins girt about with truth. Remember when Jesus was before Pilate in John 18:37, Pilate therefore said unto him, art thou a king then? Jesus answered, thou sayest that I'm a king. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. Are you of the truth tonight? So I'm saved. I'm born again. I came to the one that's the way, the truth, and the life. But are you of the truth? Are you living in the truth, walking in the truth? Is the truth important to you? Does the truth matter to you? Zechariah 8:16, these are the things that ye shall do. Speak ye every man the truth to his neighbor. Execute the judgment of truth. And peace in your gates. Let none of you imagine evil in your hearts against his neighbor. Love no false oath. For all these are things that I hate, saith the Lord. He's writing to those that would claim to be his followers. He said, listen, you need to be people of the truth. Because I hate lying. I hate lying. Like we saw last week, seven things that God hates, and all of them tied in some way into lying. As God wants to make it very clear to us, he hates lying. He considers it an abomination. He says in the next verse, love the truth. David, as he's confessing his sin in the aftermath of the affair with Bathsheba in Psalm 51:6, behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part thou shalt make me to know wisdom. In Psalm 91, he shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. His truth is what's going to protect you. In Jeremiah 5, run ye to and fro through the streets of Jerusalem, and see now and know, and seek in the broad places thereof, if you can find a man, if there be any that executeth judgment, that seeketh the truth, and I will pardon it. In Hosea chapter 4, verse 1, hear the word of the Lord, ye children of Israel. For the Lord hath a controversy with the inhabitants of the land, because there is no truth, nor mercy, nor knowledge of God in the land. Again, writing to people that would claim to be God's people. The Lord hath a controversy. There's no truth. There's nobody standing up for what's right. We have an obligation to stand for the truth. Again, we need to know what's our domain, what's God's domain. Proverbs 28:4, they that forsake the law praise the wicked, but such as keep the law contend with them. It doesn't mean that we never take a stand against unrighteousness. We just stay over here in a little bubble and say, well, we'll let God deal with that. We never raise our voice. We never stand for what's right. No, we have an obligation to stand for the truth. Such as keep the law, contend with them. We're to contend. We're to stand for what's right. Evil men understand not judgment, but they that seek the Lord understand all things. And God's given us understanding. The entrance of his word giveth light, gives understanding on the simple. God's given us all of that. And so we're to stand against that which is wrong. We're to stand against that which is evil. We're to proclaim the light and be the salt we're supposed to be. And that's going to rub some people the wrong way, and that's going to upset some people. We're not to just be passive and say, well, God's going to take care of everything. No, we stand for what's right. But we're not to seek retribution, and we're not to seek vengeance, and we're not to wish them evil even. We're to wish they would get saved and repent. But if we're not careful, we can get so upset with people that just do evil that we can almost get upset at the thought of them getting saved. Remember years ago when a man that had committed heinous crimes, barbaric crimes against children and women and on multiple occasions, killed very many of them. The last words he gave were that he had found peace in the Lord Jesus Christ, his sins forgiven. Man, people were incensed, angry about that. We need to guard our hearts. We need to be careful. We have the right response. God hates it when the wicked lie. To how much more when his own children lie? Unto whomsoever much is given, of him shall be much required. To whom men have committed much, of him they will ask the more. You've been given much tonight. If you're a child of God, you've been given salvation. Your sins have been forgiven. You have the word of God in your lap. We've been given so much. Much will be required. Psalmist said, I will sing of mercy and judgment unto thee, O Lord, will I sing. I will behave myself wisely in a perfect way. O when wilt thou come unto me? I will walk within my house with a perfect heart. I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. I hate the work of them that turn aside. It shall not cleave to me. A froward heart shall depart from me. I will not know a wicked person. Whoso privily slandereth his neighbor, him will I cut off. I'm not going to hang around somebody that plays it fast and loose with the truth. Him that hath a high look and a proud heart will not I suffer. Mine eyes shall be upon the faithful of the land, that they may dwell with me. He that walketh in a perfect way, he shall serve me. He that worketh deceit shall not dwell within my house. He that telleth lies shall not tarry in my sight. Again, Proverbs 6:16-19 isn't just for the lost, it's for us. So be warned. Be comforted. God says, I'm going to deal with liars one day. I'm going to take care of them. I'm going to take care of them. So be comforted. But then be warned. Because God wants you and me to be people of the truth. Lord, thank you for your word tonight. And Lord, help us to take it to heart. And the next time we're tempted to just bend the truth a little bit, because it'll help us, we think. It'll help us maybe get the sale or get the promotion or maybe avoid an awkward situation. And Lord, the next time we're tempted to just not be quite honest, Lord, remind us, convict us. May we love the truth. May we be people of the truth. May the reputation of Christians in this area May the reputation of Christians from Lighthouse Baptist Church in this community be that we're people of the truth. We tell the truth. We're honest. And Lord, as we look at a world that's spiraling out of control, a world that's turned everything upside down, oh God, it's easy to fret. It's easy to let the angst rise in our soul. And Lord, I pray that we would wait patiently for you. Lord, that we'd stay in our domain and concern ourselves with our area of responsibility. And the things that are yours, that we'd leave them to you and be able to rest in that. Lord, bless this invitation time now, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. With heads bowed.